artisans and spare parts dealers, pelted the Member of Parliament for Swami and Majority Leader Osei Mensah Bonsu and his visiting entourage over deteriorating Swami roundabout at Francho Road. Officials of the shop construction say at least 1.5 kilometer asphalt overlay after addressing acute shortage of bitumen. But despite the assurances, artisans and spare parts dealers say their lives and businesses have been impacted negatively by dust from the construction. Apart from dwindling sales, they allege some have suffered respiratory tract infections after inhaling dust.
We are suffering a lot. How the dust is over us, we are suffering. Even when we come to market, our tents just come on it. Even someone come to purchase and see, he don't want to buy. They are all covered in dust. So when someone come, he think it's old, but it's brand new batteries.
And how is this impacting on your business?
The market is not going as we are expected it will be.
I'm futoni ko se yakwaninye. E ban ma yentimi wo ya yale nkwa na enya no han no sei. Me electric welder, yana ye truck block machine ni aye wo han no sei no. Se ya de nson ma wa hwese futoro na change ni color no. U paint ye na futoro na se no. Se se aduan kwa ko to we so no se nson ni ho no ma. Enu se nson ran ma na aduan nso nyina fita untimi ni.
He's into manufacturing of trucks and then a block machine. And he says he's been manufacturing them, producing them in their numbers. But because of the dusty nature of the road, people come and they assume that the machines are not brand new buying them.
Tama na wo metu cha so no. Na ye niema na yetimi buye so. Se se niema na yakata kata so a yibra ye ntimi muye so. E se buye so na na mfuturo na wuram. Mfuturo no wuram so aya na akwakoye tantanta wo bra ya penti no. Na akwakoye tantanta ntimi ma ye ntimi emuye so.
Because of the dusty nature of the road, they are being forced to cover the things that they have produced here. Talking about the block machines, what happens is that after production, they have to paint them to for it to look new. But because of the dust, they are being forced to cover them in a way to prevent the dust from reaching them.
Many of us here have been coughing. You see elements of dust when you sneeze. We find dust even in our phlegm.
The artisans and the spare parts dealers and the traders here are uncomfortable with the situation because of the dusty nature of the road here. They are producing, but unfortunately, there's no sales for these items they are producing here.
You're welcome back, and thanks very much to our guest that we have been speaking to earlier. Martin Pebu is a lawyer and rights activist. Mary Awalana Ada, programs manager, Ghana Integrity Initiative. Professor Kwesi Enin, director, Faculty of Academic Affairs and Research, Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center. Dr. John Osai Kwapong with the CDD, he's a political scientist. And now joining us is Kennedy Osei Nyako, MP, Achim Swedru, and Chairman, Roads and Transport Committee of Parliament. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Osei Nyako. And surprising, there are people, some of your constituents in Ashanti region who are saying that why did the MPs have to wait for their constituents to bare their teeth before they start telling them stories, and now the entire caucus of Ashanti is seeking audience with the president for projects in the Ashanti region to be attended to.
Samson, thank you for having me on your show, and a very good morning to you and your panelists there. Well, before I will just begin with my submission, I want to just correct some kind of impression that government has just waited that long before attending to road project in the Ashanti region. That is not so. But, well, something I have to take you aback a little. Let me take you aback a little bit. Road issues in this country is a major concern for every Ghanaian. And if you want to just talk about it, you can look at the recent RANA report by CDD Afrobarometer when they asked about issues that borders on Ghanaians, and majority of them talks about roads. So it means roads are a big problem, a concern for every Ghanaian. And this concern, I'm not sure it should be limited to one political party, either Akufo-Addo or the NDC. It's a major concern which, as a country, all of us need to address it. And I'm saying so because, Samson, if you have a country that has a road network, a total network of about 78,401, I mean, it has been reviewed, but yet to be published. It has even moved from 78,000 to about 93,000 kilometers of roads because there's a lot of expansion and urban centers are opening up and more roads are being added on. And if you have just a little over 34% being paved road, it means majority of your roads are in bad condition, bad shape. And how do we address this matter? Since we have limited budget as a country, that's why I'm saying that we need to have a national dialogue as to how we are going to approach our road infrastructure in this country, so that we will shift policy-wise in terms of our infrastructure policy to say that, okay, for the next 5 years or for the next 10 years, we are going to dedicate maybe about 60% of our revenue that we generate in this country, focus on our roads, to build good roads for the next 10 years. It's a decision that we have to take. But if such decisions are not taken and we are doing the piecemeal approach, then definitely this is how people will get frustrated, because everybody needs good roads. And first of all, I must say that I share the plight of the Swami magazine people. It shouldn't have taken that long because the contractor on the road also was facing a little bit challenge. So he has to, because we don't produce bitumen in this country. All bitumens are imported into this country. So anytime any contractor working on such major projects run out of bitumen, he has to wait for a while. And the closest place country that we can get it is from Cote d'Ivoire. So I share their plight and their concern. It's a general concern that they have raised. Government is not having a deaf ears over issues of roads across country, especially in the Asante region. And if you look at records or data that we have, there are several road projects that have gone on in the Asante, especially in the greater Kumasi. Within the first 4 years of President Akufo-Addo and the MPP, government took about 55 million euros, which is equivalent of $60.6 million, to construct some major roads in the greater Kumasi, Oforikrom, Bantema, Kwadaso, New Tafo, I mean, a lot of KMA area. But it is not sufficient. It's about 100 kilometers of road that contractor construction of UK, the one that is currently building the Kumasi Airport and the Central Market Phase 2. They are the ones that did it. They did the project. They completed this year. And last year too, another 100 kilometers of road within the greater Accra inner city roads have been started by Sino-Hydro, which is going to take Sino-Hydro 36 months to complete it. I know Ashanti region, especially within the greater Kumasi, which has almost about 1,006 kilometers of roads, but only about 40% is paved. It means they have a much, much problem when it comes to good roads. So if they have a little over 40% as a good, then we are talking about 50+% which is unpaid. So and government.
So I'm listening to what you are saying, and I can't reconcile that with why constituents in the Ashanti region have been organizing press conferences and complaining about bad roads over a period now, until Osoyechi Emensah-Bosu was put in this embarrassing and threatening situation. Well, some people say, well, you brought it upon yourself. MPs, you are not supposed to be doing these things, but you go and promise the people that it's your job. So that's how come they do that. So how do you explain why the MPs have decided to come together to go to the Jubilee House and put some pressure, bring some pressure to bear on the president to ensure that there is attention to construction in the Ashanti region? If what you are saying has been delivered, has is what it is.
Well, Samson, I spoke about the Greater Kumasi. You know where the Greater Kumasi metropolis is limited to. There are adjoining towns or constituencies within the Ashanti region that also has major road challenges. And Samson, like I said, if government is faced with limited resources, government cannot construct or do all roads simultaneously. So critical roads are being picked and are worked on. Akufo-Addo government, all of us as a country, have to admit that no government in the history of this country have done road, more road extensively in this country than the Akufo-Addo government. But it is not enough, and that is it. It is not enough because our problem, our road challenges in this country are enormous, are more. Because if you have in excess of 60 plus percent of your roads that are bad countrywide, it tells you the frustrations the Ghanaian people go through each and every day, especially those that apply on those roads. So, yes, I admit that within the Ashanti region, within several constituencies, there are problems, road problems. But because government cannot have the resources to do everything, some key roads have been selected, some critical roads. And I can tell you, every constituency, all the 275 constituencies across the country, either one or two critical roads have been picked and are being worked on.
Okay.
That doesn't mean there are no other roads. There are much roads in the same, some of these same constituencies that need attention. And all borders on funding. And you know how even government as a country, we struggle, entire country, we struggle in terms of even revenue, meeting our revenue target. If you have a country where even government misses its revenue target, not less than about 13% annually. So if you do projections, you do your budget, you say, I'm going to give the road sector only about 4 billion Ghana Cedi.
And the question is, why are the MPs going to the presidency to put unnecessary pressure on the president?
So there are some roads I understand they are talking about some stalled roads. It's not like the road has not been started. The road work started, going on, but because of funding, the contractors left site. So maybe they are going to meet the president, discuss with the president to find out if there are some kind of better arrangement government can do to get funds for these contractors to move back, because all these people that are completed, and it is not even in Ashanti region alone. Across the country, when you move around, there are several road projects that have started under the president, Akufo-Addo, and the MPP government that are stalled because of funding challenges. Mm. Because government is not able to have the funding to complete this project. That is why recently government is looking at options of even going for road bond to see about 5 billion road bond, which is government is currently discussing with some local banks to see if in September they can go to the market to see if they can raise about 5 billion for the road sector, so that government can settle the indebtedness with this road contractor, which is very key. Because if I tell you something, if government should be able to find money for all contractors working currently in across the country to move back to site without even awarding new contract, I can tell you most of our road problems will be fixed in this country. Mm. And we will see a drop down of this rampant demonstration by constituents.
Okay.
That's
Well, interestingly, we are seeing sword cutting for construction projects happening just this week. And so you don't even know how to explain all of this. But I needed you, we understand that you have a meeting to go into and you have sacrificed to speak to us just briefly. So finally, I want to know, these roads that are being done right now, what is their lifespan? Must the roads also, take the cycle of 4 years, that almost every 4 years, roads are being constructed, reconstructed again? Okay, so we lost Kennedy Osei-Nyako, who is MP Achim Swedro and Chairman Roads and Transport Committee of Parliament. Let's go to Professor Kwesi Enin, who is with us via Zoom. Professor, this development, some have suggested that the MPs should brace themselves for more of these, where their constituents will literally attack them for unfulfilled promises.
So, Samson, if I take this MP's submission right now, it is that kind of political behavior that creates mistrust, that creates lack of credibility in the political process, and that gives constituents and the citizenry of this country that there is a huge chasm between what the political class tells citizens to gain power and what they can deliver. When this gentleman fudges history and talks about one government being the government that has constructed roads, go to the central region. Go to the western region. Okay? And I think it is important for our political discourse and for our national stability that these generous rhapsodies around politics, around security, around violence, around political discourse must be predicated at least on a certain respect for the citizenry. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Samson, I've said this several times. No one wants a wide social conflagration in this country. But I think we are beginning to reach a point where this sense of exclusion, that we don't matter. All the people want from us is our vote. They will tell us stories that are not true so that we vote for them. And then when they get into power, they will tell us, oh, but we didn't know that things were so bad. So what was the basis for giving that promise? So politics has been hollowed out to such an extent that those who govern have lost their respect and the trust of those who are governing. And I think this gentleman, Osei-Nyako's behavior is emblematic of that. Two, when the language of violence has a direct correlation to politicians listening, first coming to power, and then when the threat or the actual use of violence leads to politicians acting or government acting, then the citizenry understands and perceives violence as a legitimate tool for getting political results and developmental results. And that is very unfortunate. He couldn't answer your question as to why they were going, MPs were going to see the president. Okay, so there's a crisis of political credibility in this country right now. And we are going to see, and because the politicians themselves have glorified violence and they respond to threats of an actual act of violence. Unfortunately, the signal is that if you do that, you will get quick responses to your problems. That is most unfortunate and that is very dangerous. But this is not the last time that we are going to see this.
The politicians are supposed to go to parliament. As in the MPs, they're supposed to go to parliament and make laws. They are legislators. That's who they are. Yeah. But we live in a system where they go and promise that they will fix a road, they will build a hospital, they will build a school, and they don't have what it takes to do them. Unless when perhaps their party wins power, then they ride on the fact that their party is in power. When some development takes place, then they take the glory for it, or they say they negotiated for the thing to be done in those areas. Shouldn't something be done? Because the people in this area ought to be asking the MCE, the district assembly, about their roads. They shouldn't be asking Osei-Nyako Mensah-Bonsu. But this is where he found himself.
Well, it's because of the nature of how we use political rhetoric and mimicry, you know, to get people to vote for us. I'm using mimicry because political mimicry creates a false impression to people that we can deliver and do or fulfill your expectation, knowing specifically their incapacity to deliver that particular service. And therefore, what we are seeing from citizenry is that you have not been honest to us. That when you came pleading for our vote and we gave to you, you knew you would not be able to deliver. But you were more interested in your personal political ends than the community ends, and by extension, the state ends. And I think we need to reverse this type of behavior. We need to say no, that credibility in politics does matter. And getting people to support, to pull together, and to deliver the security and the development that we want must be predicated on trust, on transparency, and a discourse that is dialogic and that is founded on the facts. Telling and twisting the reality for political gain and political power will threaten and eventually undermine the edifice that we have built since 1992. When we ask God to bless our homeland and make our nation great and strong, it is predicated on the fact that we must be truthful in engaging the citizen. When we recite the national pledge, all those are predicated on openness and engaging the citizenry in a manner that builds trust.
Okay. Prosaini, in a minute before we let go of you, there are those who suggest that for the MPs from the Ashanti region to come together to go to the presidency and to put pressure that you have to do X, Y, Z, it may be a bad thing to do. Otherwise, what does that say of the MPs for the other regions as well? Are they also supposed to go there and ask that something be done? And is it to suggest that the development should be done discriminatorily? What do you say to that? Just in a minute.
Well, I think it's a very dangerous trend, because what it means is that the Minister of Roads does not matter, the Minister of Finance doesn't matter, the committee on which Oseyinyako sits on does not matter, and that it is the personal intervention of the president away from all the processes, mechanisms of decision-making that matters. That we have an emperor who governs us, and that it is only through his intervention that development happens. Mr. President, please don't see these members of parliament, because otherwise delegations from all the other regions will come. That will undermine our governance. It will undermine parliament. It will undermine the processes that we have been building.
Okay. Thank you so very much, Professor Kwesi Enin. I'm coming back to my two guests in the studio, but let me share some of your messages that you've sent with us. This one, Mike J says, thank you, Martin Pebble, for calling a spade what it is. Corruption is glorified at the highest level, and the seat of government has become the brewery for corruption. Little Tete says, without strong watchdog institutions, impunity becomes the very foundation upon which systems of corruption are built. And if impunity is not demolished, all efforts to bring an end to corruption will be in vain. Prince Cable says, I have said and will always say, corruption is Ghana's barrier to economic prosperity. Break it and we are there. Thanks to Martin Pebble for his boldness. Mi Kote says, Martin Pebble said the president must resign. I am glad to hear this on a national platform. This must be part of the national discourse. Baba Chairman says, I share the pain and agony of Martin Pebble on the subject of corruption. and its related effects being discussed, but I am of the view that he has been excessively harsh on the president this morning. An anti-corruption campaigner says that a lot of non-prosecution retrieval of monies are also good. We should look at that rather than look to only prosecution all the time. And he says that a strong denouncement by the president and his appointees, not just in words, but in deeds, that strong commitment can have a ripple effect. The president should be speaking as frequently as he was doing during the campaigns and telling his people that if you want to make wealth, it should not be under my government. And he says, if they don't see anything wrong with corruption and will even hail thieves or corrupts simply because they were not caught or won a legal battle, then we are doomed. So praising the corruption is also another situation that some are very, very worried about. Yakubu Ibn Chambers, this is a long one, but let me try. He says, we've got to shift the needle on bribery and corruption and find everlasting cure. Future-proofing the country called Ghana against bribery and corruption requires a coordinated, comprehensive methodology and collaborative efforts of all. An end-to-end visibility of the law on all persons and intelligence gathering on all institutions is necessary to curb this canker. The solution lies in the advancement of technology at speed, the modernization and activation of surveillance management functions in all government agencies and state institutions. In a nutshell, corruption should be made a criminal offense by our laws. It is. Okay, but you say it should be punishable by death. $5 billion is way too much to lose as a state. Yakubu Ibn Chambers sent in that one. I'll read this one finally from PK in Elembele. He says, in fact, the high level of corruption in Ghana is as a result of family and friends government. No one will ever punish his brother for wrongdoing, and that is the problem. Okay, now to you, Martin. Osei Chairman's situation and what the decision of the Ashanti caucus in parliament have decided to do. What do you say about that?
Yes, Sam. I said that, you know, when we discussed corruption,
The people have apologized for pelting sachet water at him. But they say they will not apologize for their conduct except pelting sachet water at him.
Yeah, so I was saying that I have a little request. We didn't quite finish with the solutions to corruption, though. Okay. I thought there was going to be a full segment. Mm. So, can I use that time to address a few of them? At least just 1 minute, then I'll come to a segment.
Okay, quickly.
So, if you look at the report that Shiraj and the Ghana Statistical Service brought up, especially when it comes to the police, their fines, okay? So, the report shows the percentage of about 13% who pay bribes in order to avoid a fine. I'm interested in that one. So page 46, 13.8% paid bribe to avoid a fine. Okay. Yes. So this particular one, you know, we've discussed it in the past. They said we're going to do spot fines. So if somebody crosses the red light in this day and age, why do you have to haul him all the way to court? There should be a spot fine. And of course, it should be done electronically so that the monies don't go into people's pockets. That's very, very important. Then number two, on the matter of this and our public servants, I mean, the politicians and all this, the asset declaration, we need an amendment, okay, so that the constitution, as with you and I, this is something both of us share dearly, 286 Clause 4, so that automatically all these people, the politicians and those very senior public officers, will go before Shiraj automatically. Because, Sam, from what you said, from Afrobarometer 2019, and even before 2019, we've known that we've always had a problem with an adversarial system. People are scared of reporting. So why don't you put the law in such a way that it's anonymous, so it's automatic? If only you are coming to office, you declare. And if you are leaving, automatically you go. Let's just put it once and for all so that you don't need people reporting. Okay, very, very key constitutional amendment.
The sole commissioner for judgment debt, in ordinary judgment debt, Justice Apau,
yes,
came to a conclusion that non-funding, state funding of political parties is one big issue.
Excellent.
Because as the CDD has found out, you need at least $100 million.
And I think it's low.
To prosecute a successful presidential campaign.
And I think it's low.
They won't get that money from anywhere. Yes. They'll steal it from you.
Yes.
So yeah. Is that also not one way to, you know, curb it?
Okay. Yes. Perfect. So in that case, that's why I support Chairman Sabus. Maybe we should try the Westminster model. Stop electing the so which will require a constitutional amendment. We shouldn't vote for the president nationally. We should do the party system. So the party that has the majority, then they will elect the prime minister. Okay. In that case, he's not beholden to the contractors. He's not. Because look, when you meet those big contractors, it's a different mindset. Today it's money. They don't care about milk of sympathy.
Okay. So if you can exhaust maybe one more point.
Okay. So and then on the matter of this recovery. So I think I mentioned it basically that look, let's engineers the laws more towards recovery of the stolen wealth. Nobody wants longer prison terms. So like the way they amended the Criminal Offences Act, so now in Act 1034, they say minimum term for corruption, 12 years, and then maximum 25. No, let's be more interested in recovery. So the OSP is what we should use more, okay? And then, of course, the almighty constitutional amendment to separate the office of the Attorney General from the Minister of Justice. Well, I think this will help in the fight against corruption.
Okay.
So Chairman Sabusu's matter, I think, having said this, I would just say that it shows that citizens are more engaging. Yes, I don't support the violence. No, not at all. I don't support it. But sometimes it's inevitable. You see, because it means that they have been pent up. When you see people do that, it means that they have been pent up. They feel they've been deceived. This 419 thing we've been talking about. You come, you talk the dead to get the vote. Then the next time, oh no, I don't control the exchequer. I don't control the public purse, you see. So it shows citizens' engagement. We need citizens to show more anger, like I've said, because the president is showing that he has a tough skin, so the only thing he will understand is when you show more anger, like what the teachers did. When the TUC came and they did the various strikes, you see, they quickly called them and gave them 15% cola. So dear citizens, let's badge together, let's come together, let's get more demonstrations. We form the citizen coalitions. We'll be going around the country. More citizens should join so that we do more demos, then we can transform this country.
All right. Yes, here, Mary.
Yes. As I've listened, I something comes to mind. George Orwell's book, The Animal Farm. I believe Ghana is gradually shifting towards an Orwellian society of sorts, where some are more equal than others. I agree with Prof. Enin that the president should not tolerate meeting with some segregated groupings. Our constitution tells us that development should be equally spread. If not, perhaps maybe we should be thinking about equity as the best alternative, but equality of the development. As Ghanaians, every community, every region deserves development. And so when we prioritize our development in our national development plans, and then we culminate this in our budgets, we should be seen to be implementing what we have all agreed, what we have appropriated and been signed on to. So when we begin to see that the president, we have some people who are more equal than others, going to the presidency to demand more roads, then it means we from the Upper East as well would go. Prof. Enin says go to the Western region, they say three areas. I have traveled the length and breadth of this country through the work I do, and I know that most of the regions which produce food and also are the source of much of the revenue we get from our mining or mineral resources do not have the best of roads and all the infrastructure we are talking about. Mm. And so we shouldn't see others to be more equal than others. We are all Ghanaians first and foremost. And when we promote such, then we are beginning to promote a culture where accountability is not what we are promoting. And we shouldn't be surprised to then be seeing people from other communities begin to also demand vociferously from our leaders the share or their share of the national cake.
Right.
It is unfortunate. We need to reject some of these behaviors. We need to begin to... We've seen what has happened in the Philippines recently. Mm. We do not want that to happen in Ghana. We want to all be safe to enjoy the benefits of the national cake. But for that to happen, the president and those we have put there to ensure it happens should do so.
Okay. Let me go to Kennedy Osei Nyako. I understand that he's joined us back. Newsfile is brought to you by Bank of Africa, MTN, Ashesi University, Robert & Sons Optical Services, Waylead Properties, Fanat Ghana, and Jura Plus. And remember that the Ecobank Joy Habitat fair has been going on, the cities and habitats, under the theme Home Ownership, Where You Live Matters. It started yesterday and will continue to the Sunday, the 24th, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, and it's happening at the Achimota Retail Center. Go there and get the best advice for getting a home and also making your decisions as far as your home is concerned. Yes, sir. I had asked the question whether you think that we shouldn't have a way out in our road construction where the roads are constructed and so frequently they are breaking up and we have to fix them all over again, and therefore as if we are sinking a lot of money into a bottomless pit?
Well, Samson, first of all, let me say a few words. I think Mr. Kusienin did said something which I think maybe I'll pardon him because maybe he did not listen to me, because I made it clear why the Ashanti MPs want to go and see the president, and they are on two issues. One is about roads currently going on which have been stalled, and some IPEP project you across the Ashanti region to the same that have been stalled that they are going to see. So these are two major issues that they are going to do. But let me come back to your issue. And you are right when you said as a country we need to find a way how we can deal with having a good road, building good roads and maintaining them. But something problem is that if you don't have the funds, if you don't have a dedicated funding, say you want to construct food to a certain level, when the roads through, they are in phases. Mm. So if you do a first ceiling, the contractor does the first ceiling, he's supposed to be paid, and he doesn't get the money 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. This first ceiling that he's doing cannot last for more than a year, because that is the surface, the first ceiling that he has to do about three ceilings. Mm. So you millions of Ghana cedis to do the first ceiling. Once the contractor is waiting for the certificate to be honored for the first ceiling, and it takes him 2 to 3 years, he leaves the site, he moves away from site, and the place deteriorates. And when government get money, and the contractor has to go back, they have to do a lot of variation. And this costs the nation so much. That is why I'm saying that we need a national conversation, a dialogue. And I don't want a problem. Nobody should see this road problem as an MPP or Akufo-Addo problem or NDC problem. It's a national problem. And we have to tackle it head on.
Mm. I suppose that is why Dr. Bawumia had been talking about, is it stop the bitumen roads for concrete roads?
Well, yes, but something you know, we cannot build concrete roads in Accra County. So certain part will require that you build concrete road. Other parts, you have to do either bitumen surfacing, you have to do, let's say, regraveling, maybe you have to do asphalting. So there are several, I mean, project type that you can do to keep road in good shape. But the bottom line is, if you don't have the money, if you don't have the funding, how do you ensure people are calling for road to be done? Citizens are calling and do road more than 2 or 3 thousand. How do you solve this matter?
All right.
That is why saying that if we are not ready to find a way to increase our internal revenue, mobilize more revenue so government can spend more on roads, then let us come and change in terms of our policy direction and infrastructure and say that, well, within the next 5 to 10 years,
yes. Thank you very much. I think the point you are making again, you have made it for us. Thank you so very much. That is Kennedy Osei-Nyako and my other guests who have been with us discussing the matters we brought to you up. My name is Governor Director of Academic Affairs and International Peacekeeping, Political Scientist.
Joy 99.7 FM. Joy 99.7 FM. Joy 99.7 FM.
The station with the best music. Best music.
I love the music.
Best music.
Joy 99.7 FM.
Keep the frequency clear.